I'm going to ask you if you would join me in Job chapter 2. If you would stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. Job 2, 1 through 10. The Bible says, "And there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause? And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Verse 9 says, Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. So no doubt in this world today, we all hear the bad news that's out there. You turn on the TV, you turn on news, it's never going to be good. It never seems to be good news on TV. It's always bad. The radio ain't much better. You turn on the radio and you always hear the things that are going wrong in this world. You turn off the TV, you turn off the radio, then your phone rings. Your phone rings. Brother Jimmy, you pull it out. My, oh my, it's Christian Vestal again. He never got nothing good. He's always complaining about what's going on and wrong in his life. Hey, brother. And you know you don't want to ask the question, how you doing? Because that's a loaded question. So you say, I hope everything's going. Nah, I'm just picking on him. He's not that way. Not yet. But he may get that way. But we all know people. You see their name come across your caller ID, and it's typically not a good thing. Why is that? Because they're focusing on, always seem to be focused on what's going wrong in their life. Their world is falling apart at every moment. Now, here we are. We find our place in the book of Job this evening. Job was much different than anybody, or the example that I just gave. You see, it wasn't, like I mentioned this morning, it wasn't what happened in his life that made him a great example, but it's the answer and the response that he had to the things that happened in his life. Now, I know we read Job 2, 1 through 10, but I'm going to go back to verse 1, and I'm going to read a verse here, but without reading all this, I'm just going to summarize it. Just want to read two verses here in chapter 1. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Verse 7, chapter 1. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Sounds much like what we just read in chapter 2. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? And Satan told Job, You've got a protection on him. You've got your hand on him. And we see that if we was to read it, many of y'all know the historical account that the Lord said, All right, Satan, so you can do as you wish to him, but you leave him alone. You leave him alive. And we see time after time, that I mentioned this morning. How bad news came after bad news after bad news after bad news. As one servant was in front of him telling something that was awful in his life happened. Catastrophic in his life. No doubt would get me down. There come another one. Well, Job, I got something else to tell you. And it just seemed to get worse and worse and worse. We see in verse 14 and 15 that the oxen and the asses were feeding, and the Sabins fell among them, took them away, and they killed the servants. While he was yet speaking, verse 16, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants. While he was yet speaking, verse 17, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away and killed the servants. My, what is it going to do? How much worse can it get? Well, then we read verse 18. While he was yet speaking, my sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And he said, I only escape alone to tell thee. And we see in verse 20 what I talked about this morning, that his response is what set this man aside. No doubt if that happened to you or I, maybe it's just me. Maybe y'all's faith are a lot stronger than mine, but if that was to happen to me, that might take me out. But Job, his response is, he fell down upon the ground and he worshiped. What in the world would he worship about? I mean, everything that he had was gone. But I want you to see these two verses, and we're going to compare them between chapter 1 and chapter 2. Verse 8 in chapter 1 says, And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? He's a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God, and he sheweth evil. And there's a question mark. And then it goes to verse 9. But there's a verse in the next chapter that we read that's much like this one. Go to chapter 2, verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God, and he sheweth evil? There's that question mark again. But this verse doesn't end. God goes on and he says, And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Now, I'm going to stop right here and tell you what it is we've read. You see, both of these verses is a conversation between God and Lucifer, or Satan, as we know it. I better just say Satan. But it's a conversation between God and Satan. And God said, Have you considered my servant Job? We see that on two different instances. Now, never mistake who threw Job's name out there. Was it the devil? No, it was God. Now, this is where it gets hard for us to understand, but God is the one that presented to Satan his servant Job. It was God said, Have you considered Job? And then he listed and said he's perfect, he's upright, and he eschews evil. He hates evil. And the devil then said, All right, I'll go get him. And we see in chapter 1 everything bad that happened to Job. All these things that would typically wipe out a normal human being, or maybe you or I. But in chapter 2, there it is again. Satan, what you doing? He said, I'm just walking to and fro, going up and down in the earth. And he said once again, Have you considered my servant Job? So once again, the good God in glory threw Job's name out there to Satan. Have you considered him? So not once, but twice, God asked him, "Have you considered Job?" And we see Job was tested again in chapter 2. But God says something different about this man named Job. He said, and in the latter part of verse 3, he says, "And still he holdeth fast his," what? "Integrity." Integrity. That is what it is that I choose to preach on tonight. I know who's here. It's the faithful. It's Sunday evening. Typically, I know on Sunday evenings, you get the faithful crowd. You get the ones that's always here. And no doubt, I know who it is I'm talking to this evening. But it applies to us just as well. Proverbs 11:3 says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." So my question is, this integrity that he said Job had, what is integrity? I'm not a very smart man. I asked my wife, I said, "What is integrity?" I didn't tell her anything I was talking about. I just asked her, I said, "What is integrity?" And she gave me her definition. Well, I decided I wanted to go look it up to see what this integrity is, what it's defined as. And this is what I found: wholeness, entireness, unbroken state, purity, honesty, genuine. So when I think of somebody that has integrity, I think of somebody that's genuine, that's pure. Now, yes, nobody's perfect. But somebody that just tries to do right all the time. That is who God said Job was. He called him and said that he would hold it fast, his integrity. Even though his world fell apart, even though he had nothing left, Job held to his integrity. And the Lord, for the second time, said, "Have you considered him? You've done everything in the past to Job, but he still held to his integrity. Have you considered him?" And Satan said, "Well, you've protected him. I can't do anything to him." He said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "You can go after him, but don't you kill him." It's all right. So we read that he struck him with boils. And then we get to verse 9. "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity?" Now this is his wife talking to him. And she asked him, "Do you still retain thine integrity?" And she said, "Curse God and die." And we see in verse 10 that Job rebuked her and said, "Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" And that statement, the latter part of verse 10, it says, "In all this did not Job sin with his lips." So I've defined what integrity is. But why is it so important that you and I hold to our integrity? I want to give you three simple reasons why we as Christians should never let anything waver our integrity. Why we should forever cling to our integrity in a message titled, "Hold Fast to Your Integrity." Hold fast to your integrity. Number one, quickly. One reason you and I need to hold fast to our integrity: our children is on the line. Our children need to see us hold to our integrity. Why is that important? Our children need stability. In this society that we live in, they have anything but stability. And for them to go to school and to hear all this nonsense that they get fed, for them to hear all this thing that they have to deal with at school, whether it's during the school hours, whether it's after school hours, and for some of them, after school they go to work and they have to hear all this awful stuff, all this awful junk, and then they come home, they ought to find some integrity inside of our homes. They ought to find that inside our homes. But this evening, our children need some stability. I'm just going to be honest. Our children are faced with opposition in a much different way than we were when we were their ages. Peer pressure and youth influence is much stronger than it was when just I was a kid. The world didn't flaunt sin in front of them the way that they do today. I mean, it's awful the things that they see. And you would be surprised what a 10 or 12-year-old could come home and tell you about some things. They could educate you parents and you grandparents on some things of the world. I mean, it's awful. But they flaunt sin in front of them much different than they did when I was a kid. The things that was looked down on 20 years ago are praised in the society that we live today. Our kids are being tossed to and fro in school. They're being tossed to and fro at their part-time jobs. And sometimes, even when they come home, they cannot find that stability in the home in which they live. Our kids need stability. Why? Suicide is the second leading cause of death among people ages 15 to 24. Now, I know that does not stop at the age 24. I know that no doubt people of all ages deal with this thing called suicide, but suicide rates among our teens, among our children, are skyrocketing. People ages 15 to 24, nearly 20% of high school students report serious thoughts of suicide. I'm not talking about just the thought that enters. I'm talking about serious thoughts, one that are seriously thinking about acting on the thoughts that they have. Not only are 20% having serious thoughts of suicide, 9% have made serious attempts to take their lives. And I would venture to say these statistics that I'm giving you this evening, are very conservative. Many of children, even church children, have thoughts like this that are not even documented. Ohio State football player Harry Miller shared his struggles with suicide with his coach to get help. This athlete in college wrote this: "This is not an issue reserved for the far away. It's in our homes. It's in our conversations. It's in the people that we love." Miller also wrote, "A person like me, who supposedly has the entire world in front of them, can be fully prepared to give up the world entirely at any moment." My. The world that we live in has got these kids tossed to and fro. They ought to find stability in the home of mom and dad. Now, I understand that there could be somebody here, somebody tuning in on live stream, that maybe they're a mom, a single mom raising a family. Maybe it's the other way around. And it's hard. It's a hard battle to fight for that integrity, because you should have that other individual in your life, but for whatever reason you don't. But I say to that single parent, do the best to give them the stability they ought to have. Our kids need moms and dads that have some integrity about them. They pay attention when you least expect it. They know what's going on in the home. If you don't believe them, ask any of these young ones that's running around. They'll tell you. If any of y'all have ever worked with kids, y'all know. Mom and dad may come in here and paint on that face that it's just good and glorious, and the heaven is falling inside their home. The Lord Jesus is praised up, and He meets with you right there just for the kids to say, "No, it ain't nothing like that at the house at all." I'm just being honest. Teenagers, not so much, but you get a little younger in teenagers. If you work with them and you take up prayer requests, some of the prayer requests ought to be a call to get some help, because it really opens up what's going on at the home. But they pay attention when you least expect it. What are your kids and grandkids, or maybe even great-grandkids, seeing what's inside your home? How about you, Dad? Would you be proud if your son grew up and become a man just like you? Or how about if your daughter grew up and married a man much like you, would you be proud? Would you be full of shame? You and I, we've got to hold fast to integrity for our children's sake. Number two, our church needs your integrity. I told you at the beginning of service, I know who it is I'm talking to this evening. But I know that you and I face struggles. I know you and I have hard times. And I've said before, if you ever want to find out what somebody's made of, make them mad. Wait till they go through something difficult. That's when you'll find out what they're really made of. You can see people that can come and sit down on this church pew and can play the role of a Christian very well. And you may assume that they are a godly individual, but you let opposition hit their life, you'll really see what they're made of. The church needs your integrity. I'm thankful that Faith Temple Baptist Church has the testimony that it does in this community. I've heard nothing but good things about this place of worship in and around this county. I've heard countless stories of Preacher Trogdon. I've heard countless stories of Preacher Buddy and the integrity that they had and how God used them in the ministry and the things that He'd done around. I've heard countless stories and I love hearing them. Oh, well, are you sure? Because that has nothing to do... This thing ain't about me no ways. I like hearing what God does, whether I'm here or whether I'm not here. I like hearing some of New Center's crowd here. I love hearing and seeing what God's doing down there. Why is that? That's not your church. Because it's not about me, folks. It's about God, and I'm thankful that God is still working. I'm thankful that He has worked. But I'm so thankful that around this place, there's always been an emphasis on the Word of God. As wonderful as that is, in the past, when we think about what God's done around here, you and I, we can't change the past. The only thing you and I can do is affect or change the future. Well, it ain't been that pleasant around the house. Maybe when I go to the house of God, maybe Sunday mornings are rough. Trying to get ready, opposition at every moment. Yes, you may have that. But do you bring that opposition in when you come into the house of God? This church needs your integrity. New Center needs your integrity. If there's any visitors tuning in on the live stream, your church needs your integrity. Why is that? Because there's a lost and dying world out here. And if we're too caught up on our problems and our concern, and we throw our integrity to the side, what good are we going to be for that world out there? We ain't going to be any good. The past can't be changed. The only thing that we can change is the future. This church had integrity in the past, and my desire is to uphold its integrity in the future. God blessed us greatly last year. Sunday school was started back up. We had multiple outings, youth, older ones, churches, church outing together. I've seen people get right. I've seen people step up. I've seen people start serving in ways that they've not done in a long time. But above all, I've seen some lost souls come to Christ. Sure, hard times will come. Sure, we will face opposition, but our integrity must remain intact. I am born in the generation that if you was to put a name on me, I am a millennial. I know for some of y'all old, some of the ones that's been around here many years, y'all know that y'all look at me and talk about how young I am. My kids tell me how old I am because I'm born in a different century than they were. But some of y'all have been around a while. I've never experienced it. But years ago, even before I come along, people had integrity. A handshake meant something back then. A word, somebody giving you word, meant something back then. There was a billboard a few years ago, it was by the bank, and it had a picture of two hands shaking. And it said, it all begins with a handshake. Well, years ago, it used to mean something. It don't mean a thing today. There's just no integrity. Sad to say, there's not much integrity sometimes in the house of God. The church needs your integrity. Last of all, not only do your children need your integrity, the church needs your integrity, but the lost needs your integrity. The lost needs to see your integrity. See, the world is looking for hope. Why are they looking for it? Because they don't have it. They're looking for something out there. They're looking for a reason to live. That's why the suicide rate is through the roof. Because they think they don't have a reason to live. So many people, they'll turn to drugs. They'll turn to alcohol. They'll turn to things to get them away from reality, because reality just seems to hurt so much. As Christians, we know that hope is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that outside of His shed blood on Calvary, outside of His death, outside of His burial, outside of His resurrection, we have no hope. Where is it at? It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in your pastor. It's not in me. It's not in your deacon. It's not in your Sunday school teacher. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. And when I talk about that, I expect, and I get some amens, I expect that. But they don't know that. The world doesn't know that. They look for hope in a needle. They look for it in a bottle. They can't find it because it's not there. Where are they going to look? Anywhere they can, if we don't tell them. We've got to tell them, where is our integrity? We must point the world to Him in which our hope is found. Never get to the point in your Christian life that you think God owes you something. He doesn't owe you a thing. Some people, and I've been this way before, unashamedly, but I'll come down from here. Man, I done good today. I done good today. Just to fall flat on my face later. If I ever come off this platform thinking I done something, oh my, I'm going to hit the ground hard. Most times when I step off this platform, I feel like a failure. You know why that is, Jimmy? Because I am. I feel about this big. This morning was wonderful. I went home, and this happens a lot on Sundays and Mondays. My wife looks at me, what's wrong? Nothing. You know why? Because I feel like I want to crawl under a rock and just let it land on me. Let me lay there for a little while. That's how small I feel. But you know what? I'd rather feel small like that than think I've done something. Because I ain't done a thing. I can't save anybody. I can't do something physically for somebody. The only thing I can do is preach the gospel and tell them about somebody that can save their soul. The lost needs to see our integrity. I'm not good talking to people. I'm not good witnessing to people. And I know people that are scared to death to talk to strangers. I know people like that. It's okay, but why is it so hard for us to live the life of a Christian in front of them? Where's your integrity? The lost needs to see your integrity. When your name is mentioned, what comes to people's mind? Somebody that's tries to do right? Somebody that tries to be honest? Or, well, depends on what day of the week it is. What is it people think about when they hear your name? Are we full of honesty in everything that we do? Or do we have deceitful ways of our own? Isaiah 5:14, I always go back to this when I think about the lost. Especially when we know the lost is looking at us. Isaiah 5:14 says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. What are you talking about? Hell is growing. Why is it growing? People keep going. You and I, we've got to have some integrity about ourselves. So we can give the lost hope. We can tell them of one where they can find hope. Are you telling others about Jesus? In closing, I gave you three reasons why our integrity should remain intact. The devil done everything to knock Job off of his feet, and he done that. But Job landed face down, worshiping God. The devil done everything that he could to pretty much wipe the worship that come out of Job's mouth, out of Job's life, off the face of the map. And it backfired in his face. If you were placed in the position of Job tomorrow, would you bring glory to God's name, or would you give the devil what he wanted? If our integrity stays intact, there's going to be three things we're going to be ready. Three things that we'll be ready to have if our integrity stays intact. Number one, if our integrity stays intact, we'll be ready to be used of God. Number two, if our integrity stays intact, we'll be blessed of God. And number three, if our integrity stays intact, we can become a vessel of honor for God. For God. Job 42:12, one of the very last verses of this book says, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, and 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses." Whatever Job had at the beginning that he lost, God blessed him twofold in the end. Well, what about his children? Well, I think we didn't sing it this morning, but we've sung a song before. The soul never dies. You see, Job didn't lose his children. Sure, in this life, physically, he may not have got to see his children. But he didn't lose his children, because life doesn't end at the grave, as we talked about yesterday. It's just simply the beginning. And God blessed him with 7 more sons and 7 more daughters. So Job had 14 sons and Job had 14 daughters. What are you saying? God blessed Job twofold. Why? Because his integrity stayed intact. Job lost everything that he had. All of his financial stability, gone. All of his livestock, gone. His children that he had were all dead. His health had declined. The healthy body that he once had was gone. Everything that he once had or seemed to have slipped right through his hands. But one thing Job never lost, one thing that the man never lost, even with all forces of hell going against him, one thing the man never lost was his integrity. He never lost his integrity. When he had everything, he worshipped. When he lost everything, he worshipped. When his own wife even told him to curse God and die, Job remained faithful. And the Bible says, "In all this did not Job sin with his lips." He lost everything. But what did he do when he lost everything? He done then what he done before. He worshipped. James 5:11 says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful, and of tender mercy. What are you saying? When your world falls apart and everything that you have been blessed with fades away before your eyes, how are you going to respond? It ain't what happened to Job. It was his response in the situation that he was in. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." Not my purpose, but His purpose. Romans 8:28, I read that. And why do you read that? Why do you read that? Because we can lay our head down in peace at night with the storms raging, with our lives falling apart, with everything gone in our lives, because God is always in control. We may never know why we're going through what we're going through or how we're even going to make it, but God is in control. Whatever trouble life gives you, hold fast to your integrity. If you don't have anything else, if you can't grab on of anything else, Brother Jesse, hold your integrity. When your world's falling apart, hold your integrity. The enemy, the adversary, took everything that he possibly could. But the one thing that he could not take was his integrity. And Job held on tight to it. Hold to your integrity. The latter part of that verse, in chapter 2, verse 3, where God asks Satan if he considered his servant, and he says, "And he still holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him." We must understand the things that come in our life has to pass by the approval of God first. There's nothing that enter into our life that doesn't pass over or through the desk approval of God. "Oh, God wouldn't send this to me." Well, I'm going to tell you what. Our faith doesn't grow when the things are going well. Our faith doesn't grow when we're on that mountain. But it's when we're in that deep, dark valley is where our faith begins to grow. Why? Because we rely on it. The beautiful flowers typically don't grow up on the mountain peak. It's down there in that valley. Brother, that's where that soil is fertile. It's ready for growth down there. And it is in the valleys that you and I must lean on our faith. So if your world falls apart tomorrow, grab on and hold on to that integrity. Your children's lives on the line. Hold to that integrity because your church needs it. And hold to that integrity because the lost out there need to see that there's hope somewhere.